Welcome to the Sportscast, December 11th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, X, and Apple Podcast. You can listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you can, and also Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. And you can visit our website, thesportscast.net, or on X. Follow us on X and Instagram, thesportscast1, or you can check out our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. NFL Week 14, a huge weekend for the NFL. College football is exiting. Next week, we'll have Saturday games. But anyways, before we get into Week 15, let's get with Mr. Dan Madding from all the way from Northeast Ohio. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Yeah, good to be back. Good to be back.
Dan, good weekend. Now you have a mic.
Yeah, I'm official now. I'm official podcaster now.
You're official podcaster. You mirror me pretty much.
Yeah.
But how's the weather up there, Dan?
Not too bad. A little flurries, getting a little cold, but I'm sure we'll be getting a couple inches here in the next couple weeks. I'm sure the snow's going to be flying here real soon.
Which I heard a radio show this morning. They were in Richmond. They were getting snow 1 inch in Richmond this week, wow. This past weekend. Today.
Yeah.
Today. So I have no issues with snow here in Florida. The last time we iced in Florida was 1986, but it was pretty much ice. It was not snow. So
yeah, right.
I don't think we'll ever have that issue again, but you never know.
No, global warming. We'll see.
Yeah, I know. Global cooling. That could happen too. Yeah, right. I don't know. Anyways, your Browns had a good weekend. Joe Flacco 3 weeks ago was sitting at his mom's house watching NFL games. Now he's officially the starting quarterback. Stefanski said it last after the game yesterday.
Yeah. He looked great. It's hard to believe it at his age and just sitting on the couch throwing footballs with his kids and that he still has it. And the timing that he was able to throw the ball with, it's almost like he had been there all year. With his receivers, threw for over 300 yards, had a pick, turnovers, but I tell you what, found a way to win. And when Stefanski is actually showing emotion on the sidelines, you know it's a good day for the Browns fan. And I got excited seeing him get excited because it doesn't happen with Stefanski. He's real melancholy, and it kind of bothers me that he doesn't get pumped up. And I think the players are going to feed on that, and it was neat to see.
He's pulling a Belichick. Now, Dan, let me ask you this. Best case scenario for Flacco, if he wins out, maybe go to the playoffs, what does that happen there? I mean, of course, we got Deshaun Watson with that big contract. I'm pretty sure you've thought about this, but what could happen in the offseason season here?
Yeah, I think you saw I put on my Facebook that the Browns should release Watson immediately, write it off as bad debt on their taxes this year and count the loss and roll with Flacco a few more years. Because honestly, I think even one of the announcers made a comment on his first touchdown pass to Nadeau that he likes him Flacco behind there because he's throwing balls that he can catch, and it's the truth. He wasn't lying because he's putting the ball on point more than anyone has with all the quarterbacks. So it's going to be hard if they make a big playoff push. There's going to be some rumblings. I know Browns fans that aren't going to want to go back to Watson, but when you're paying somebody $200 million guarantee, you're kind of invested in them. And you know what they do, it's going to create a lot of controversy in Cleveland for sure.
Yeah, because the Browns are legally pined to
right.
Watson.
If they let him go tomorrow, he would get paid in full. So, that's
and
the problem
trade,
with the guaranteed money.
Would a trade be an option, Dan, or that?
I don't think. I don't think. I mean, I don't think there's any way to get away with not paying him that.
Wow.
Anyways,
we'll see what happens with Flacco. It's still week 14. There's four more weeks left of the season, but we got to recap week 14. Dan, are you ready?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, let's go to New York. Zach Wilson said, I do not want to start, but the Jets coach, hey, we need you to start. The two other quarterbacks did not do well. Wilson impressed in his return, throwing for 301 yards and two scores. DJ Stroud had a concussion, but what a comeback win for Wilson. Redemption story here. Texans were the hottest team till they went to New York.
Yeah, the comeback kid. I mean, this would be make for a good movie. I mean, the dramatics in this whole New York situation. But I tell you what, I mean, I didn't see this one coming. Give it up for Wilson coming out, throwing, 300 yards. Just really looked good. Stroud was off. He was losing three of his big targets. So I think that affected him a little bit. Wasn't able to get the ball down the field. So a big win for the Jets, for sure.
And also keep in mind, Aaron Rodgers has he said this past week he will not be coming back in December because he said the Jets don't have a chance to make the playoffs. I think that's a smart move. I don't care about experimental Achilles tendon solution. I would rest it up, wait till next season, and become 100% ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Good decision. I mean, if he came out and, tweaked it again or got injured again,
it's over.
Problems. Yeah, it's over. Yeah,
I think it's over. Yeah. Anyways, let's go to Baltimore. This was actually an exciting game. I saw this last week before the game starts. Like, this is going to be a good game. And it did. Went to overtime. Tylan Wallace from the Ravens ran one back 76 yards. That's a lot of yards for a touchdown in overtime to have the Ravens beat the Rams 37-31, snapping the Rams' three-game winning streak.
Yeah, I was watching this game closely. Obviously, I was pulling for L.A. with Baltimore being head of the division, and I was hoping Stafford can pull one out there. But big win, for the Ravens in overtime, for sure.
You know that OBJ was wearing a sweater before when he was in training. Right before the game, he put pictures of the Rams and it said frenemies. So he's friends, but also enemies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which he's referencing. He won the Super Bowl with them a couple of years ago. Tweak his knee. Had a good game, actually. So we'll see with this Ravens. Top team in the AFC. They do play the Dolphins in a few weeks, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. The Saints and the Panthers. Derek Carr returned from a recent concussion, Dan, and upper body injuries to throw late touchdown passes to Chris Olave and Jimmy Graham. And the Saints beat the hapless Panthers 28-6 on Sunday to pull back into a tie atop the feeble NFC South, which the Bucs are leading. But big win by the North. Well, not big win. It should be an easy win by New Orleans.
Yeah. The QB experiment's going to be interesting there for sure. Issues there with, passing on Stroud. So we'll see what happens once they get a new coach and figure it out.
Yeah. Panthers are 28-29 against the Saints all time. They are 14-14 home and 14-15 on the road. Panthers are definitely have a lot of question marks in the offseason. So we'll see what happens there. Making his third NFL start, the 27-year-old Jake Browning was outstanding again, throwing two touchdown passes and rushing for a score as Cincinnati beat the Colts 34-14. Gardner Minshew threw for 240 yards and a touchdown and an interception for the Colts, whose offense stalled after halftime. But the Bengals are hot without Joe Burrow. Is this a good sign for the Bengals?
Yeah, it has me a little nervous. I thought that was in the win column for the Browns on the last game, but not now. I mean, out of nowhere, just when you think the Bengals are out with Burrow going down, Jake Browning comes in and lights it up, throwing for 275 yards, 18 for 24, looked real good. And so there's still hope for the Bengal Nation, for sure. Houdet, right?
Yeah, exactly. As we said, Burrow is out for the season. Bengals defense is among the worst, especially against the run, but they were able to pull out the win. Good job, Cincinnati. Let's go to the worst division, I think, in the NFL. This is NFC South. The Bucs defeated the Falcons 29-25. The Baker Mayfield led a game-winning drive to vault the 6-7 Bucs into first place in the dismal NFC South. The Falcons had a lead, 25-22, that led a touchdown run by Desmond Ridder in the fourth quarter. However, the Buccaneers regained control with a 75-yard, three-minute drive, and the Bucs are on top of the South again.
Yeah, the Falcons have had a tough time punching in the end zone, getting there, but just settling for 3 points. Baker didn't play that well. Falcons probably should have won this game.
Yeah, interesting. Who do you think will end up first? Do you think the Bucs or the Saints?
I think the Bucs are going to.
I hope so. It's going to be a definite flip of a coin. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens. Let's go into Cleveland, the game that Dan watched really closely. Flacco passed for 311 yards and 3 touchdowns to his favorite receiver, apparently. That's what Dan said. David Njoku in his home debut for Cleveland. And the Browns survive a late rally by Trevor Lawrence. Almost came back. Yeah. And it's funny. I actually shot you a message. Oh yeah, right. Like the Browns won. No, the game's not over. Jaguars can still come back.
Yeah, it had me a little nervous. You know, the nickname for the Browns has always been the Cardiac Kids, and they're known for doing those things. But yeah, I mean, great win. With a little surprise, give it up for Trevor Lawrence for coming back. I mean, with that injury, the way he went down, I figured it was going to be at least a couple weeks, and he battled through. Didn't look like himself, and the Browns got the defense going again in the last couple weeks. They weren't able to get to the quarterback. Coach Schwartz said that he was going to try to ramp that up, and they got to him. They rattled him, made things difficult, forced a couple turnovers. Big difference in the game. The defense came to play this week, and really – Flacco, a great story, giving the ball down the field. They're passing more than they're running, it seems. And with that run game, they finally got it going in the second half, and the passing and the defense. I mean, I really think they can make a good playoff push and win a playoff game or two.
Ooh, he's being bold with that prediction. Flacco not just threw in the Njoku, he also threw through another tight end, Evan Engram, at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. He's distributing the ball to many different receivers that we weren't able to see before with other QBs.
I wonder why. Yeah. Also give credit to Myles Garrett, who also had a sack against Trevor Lawrence. Good game, good measuring stick. I think that Jaguar game has some good signs for you guys, I think.
Yeah, no, that was a big win, you know, beating a strong competition. The Bears, they had a bounce back, so I think that could be a good game next week. Surprisingly, you would think that would be a straight win, but it'll be interesting next week to see how they do.
This game was a surprise for me, probably for you as well. Chicago beating the Lions, Dan. The Lions rallied in the second quarter to make a 13-10 lead into halftime. However, the momentum did not carry over into the second half. The Bears made all the plays down the stretch to put the game away. The Bears defeat the Lions 20-13. What's going on with the Lions?
Yeah, I know. I think Pat McAfee is going to have to relinquish his brand new Lions because they're looking like the same old Lions to me right now. I mean, they just they're getting behind way early. I mean, last week they were down 21-0, and then this week they got down early. Goff, you know, fumbling, snaps. I mean, it just one thing after the other, and they just look bad this week. That was a shocker to see the Bears beat them.
Justin Fields completed 19 of 33 passes for 223 yards. He also ran for a 58 yards touchdown, giving him 2,021 in the career and joining Bobby Douglas as the only Bears quarterback with 2,000 yards rushing. I think he's a keeper, right? For quarterback?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would say so. I mean, I think I don't think they're going to move off. There were some rumblings that, you know, maybe they were going to try to trade him or something like that. But I think they need to stick it out, especially if he's showing that he's getting better at the end of the season.
I remember at the early part of the season, he was kind of blaming the coaches.
Mm-hmm. He was. Yeah, he was, which probably isn't the best thing to do. But yeah.
Yeah, it's not the best thing to do because the front office doesn't like that. But anyways, let's go to the West Coast. This game, I thought the Seahawks might have had a chance, but they did not. Deebo Samuel scored 2 touchdowns Dan, George Kittle had a long touchdown catch. I saw that. It's pretty cool. And Christian McCaffrey ran for 145 yards to lead the 49ers to the 11th straight division win, 28-16 over the Seahawks. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the Niners are the real deal. I mean, I think they're a favorite for the Super Bowl for sure. I think Brock Purdy, I mean, this guy, Mr. Irrelevant, is super relevant now. I mean, I think he's in the lead with him and Dak for the MVP. I mean, just distributing the ball. And he's just a great guy. I mean, you just look at him. He's just a humble guy. He doesn't like the attention. And, you know, happy for him that he was able to get a chance, you know, as the third backup. Now he's lead for MVP. So, yeah, they're unreal.
They're unreal. I think they are the best team in the NFL, don't you think, Dan, right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, you know, I would say, especially, you know, with Philly, you know, their issues that have come the last couple of weeks. So I would definitely say them for sure. And the Cowboys, they're making a run now that, but we'll see how good they are here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Cowboys, I always put question marks with them. Yeah. They don't play well in January. And
no, and then their heat of their schedule is going to be coming up. You know, we'll see how they do against the Bills here, and you know, being the Bills are playing better, so we'll talk in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll see. And they play Miami, by the way.
Bills in Miami.
Which game was the lowest scoring indoor game in NFL history?
Vikings Raiders, right?
You're right.
Man, I think that everyone that attended that game should demand a refund immediately. Because I mean, to be there and spend your, you know, week's pay to go to this game right now, they need to get a refund or a voucher or something. I mean, that was just awful.
It was the only points by the Vikings kicker, Greg Joseph, 36-yard field goal. He probably felt really good after that game, maybe. And yeah. The Raiders prevented the teams from setting the league back 80 years. It was the first 3-0 game, Dan, since Pittsburgh beat Miami on November 26, 2007, the third in the past 40 years, and the seventh in the Super Bowl era. The last game that ended regulation scoreless was a 0-0 tie between the New York Giants and the Detroit Lions on November 7th, 1943. Can you believe that?
Yeah, there's plenty of baseball games that have a bigger score than that. So, I mean, bad.
And also, quarterback of the Vikings, Minnesota, Josh Dobbs. He was taken out for Mullins towards the end of the game.
Yeah, what a turnaround. I mean, we were sitting here a few weeks ago talking, you know, is this guy the real, you know, is MVP?
We're singing his praises. MVP.
I mean, and all of a sudden how things can change just like that, you know, in this league. And that's just wild that, you know, it looks like his times are done there. And might have to look at being an astronaut or whatever he wanted to do before. I mean, I guess he'd be a good backup, but man. Hate to see that because
we'll see. We'll see what happens if Mullins or Josh Dobbs will start next week. Let's go into the Broncos, who lost last week against Houston. They came back. They beat the divisional rival Chargers 24-7. Russell Wilson put themselves back in the AFC playoff picture as well, Dan. Justin Herbert broke a finger in the first half. Bad day for the Chargers, but the Broncos are looking good again.
Yeah, no, they were clicking. You know, Russell Wilson, you know, did well. You know, I'd have to say Chargers, I mean, they're on – there's no way Brandon Staley keeps his job for sure. I mean, I think it's coming to an end.
Yeah, it's coming to an end. Defensive coach Justin Herbert broke his finger. So we'll see what happens. With him, backup quarterback Easton Stick completed 13 of 24 passes for 179 yards in Herbert's place. He had played played two NFL snaps in five seasons with Los Angeles before replacing the Bolts franchise quarterback with a minute 52. Herbert has never missed a game. And he might miss the next game. So we'll see what happens with.
Yeah, they're in real trouble. They're in real trouble without him. I mean, he was their only hope.
This game. Oh my gosh. Have you ever seen Patrick Mahomes angry?
No, that was just crazy. I mean, I think it was just the frustration boiling over for the season. I mean, there's no way you could go that crazy over a call that it was obvious that he was offsides. You know, the Chiefs have benefited from bad calls all year, in a sense, in games. For him to go that, it wasn't just that play. I think he's having issues with receivers, receivers dropping the ball, losing close games. So I just think it was a boiling over moment, and he just took it out. I mean, that was just terrible.
So what happened with this was there was a pass by Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce. It was a beautiful pass, which then lateraled the ball to Kadarius Toney for the 49-yard score, but was called back by an offside penalty on none other than Kadarius Toney itself. And obviously, Mahomes was livid. He was mad. And of course, hey, you know, you should have called this. But let me ask you, Dan, how is that supposed to work? Like, the refs would tell the player, hey, you're offside, and let's, you know, restart the snap? Or, like, how would it?
Yeah, I think there's they're not obligated. I was seeing some of the refs came forward to tell them. Sometimes, you know, they do if the receiver, like, looks back and looks at the ref on the sideline, and they'll kind of nod, you know, to get set. Obviously, he was in the slot on this play. The ref is all the way on the, you know, sideline. So, but he never did that. I mean, you can clearly tell. And Toney, I mean, he's having he caught that pass, but I mean, he's had several drops, and that was just a boneheaded play. You know, how he was way off, so it wasn't even close. You know, I mean, you got to call it. You know, they're coming down on that. Usually, you don't see that called offensive offsides that often, but I guess this year there has been around 11 or 12 of them called. They're really coming down on that. And then I guess the next play, supposedly the Chiefs guy, Von Miller, jumped off, and they didn't call that. So that's the big thing online. Well, they call that and they don't call this, you know. But bottom line is, don't let the refs call the game. There was a bunch of plays before that. I mean, the Chiefs didn't play that great. I mean, they could have won the game. So it's just don't put the game in the ref's hands. You know, don't allow them to make that. You should have been up. And, you know, you shouldn't allow that. So that's my take on the whole blame the refs situation.
Yeah, and there's been issues with refs this past couple of weekends. Yeah. There was one game, I think the Browns was like one of the games that the refs did not make an appropriate call. And there's like one group ref, I can't remember the name of this guy, that had two or three games this season, Dan, that had issues. And I think it's same ref from 2-3 years ago with the Saints, with like the no pass or interference in the playoff game. Yeah, I think it's that same ref. I'm not sure what's up with them.
Yeah, no, it's and then the other thing is I've been seeing all these, they throw a flag and then they'll huddle and get together and say, oh, there's no flag on the play. And they don't tell you what they threw the play. I mean, I see at the Cowboys game, there was like three of them right in a row. And it's like, what'd you throw the flag in the first place? And why don't you tell us why you picked it up? What would you see? You know, it's just, there's so many of those too. I mean, it's really bad this year.
Yeah, and there's been statements this morning from the Chiefs and the refs. So we'll see what the NFL decides.
Yeah, we'll see.
If they have to make a decision, I'm not sure if they can do anything.
Maybe Taylor Swift will be writing a song about the NFL refs. Stay tuned for that, because she was in attendance.
I did see her with a pen and paper at the stand, so that could be a possibility. Anyways, let's go to the game of the weekend. They said that, but it actually did not turn out to be the game of the weekend. Dak Prescott threw for two touchdowns. Dan, Brandon Aubrey, who actually used to play for the MLS, Major League Soccer, made four field goals to start his career at record 30 for 30, and the Cowboys pulled even in the division NFC East with their 15th consecutive home victory, 33-13 over the Eagles on Sunday night. Dan, you can't win in Dallas, by the way.
No, I tell you what, Dallas, you know, I thought this was going to be a little closer. Philly's been struggling lately. You know, we were having them best in the league there for a few weeks, and, you know, now they're playing some better teams. Dak lit it up. I mean, he played well, and you know, pump your brakes on Dallas here because they're going to have some tough more games here in December and January. And no matter what they do prior, you're going to question what Dak can do against better competition in the playoffs or leading up to the playoffs. So they, like we talked about, they'll have the Bills and the Dolphins. So we'll see, you know, what happens.
We'll see what that measuring stick is for the Cowboys. Everyone's saying Dak Prescott MVP. I'm not convinced. I'm more C.J. Stroud, but what's your thoughts on Prescott being?
Yeah, I think it was C.J. Stroud, but you know he had a bad game this week. Some receivers are out. I don't know how long they're going to be out, or if he's getting guys back. I mean, I would say Dak is a front runner is with Purdy, and then you know Tua, I would say might is depends how he does here.
I would say Tyreek. I'll put him in that.
Tyreek, yeah. If he has a big game tonight, yeah, exactly.
2,000 yards. This is try the record mm-hmm. break. So we'll see what happens with the MVP. Obviously, still early. And it's not your playoff performance. It's regular season. So we'll see. The journalists and coaches, I think, all vote. Still more time to prove the skeptics and the critics and the voters. So we'll see what happens. There's two more games left. Monday night. Double header that has not been that since the beginning of the season. Let's go to the first game with predictions, Dan. Packers at the Giants. Packers have been looking hot. I think if they win tonight, will be their third game winning streak. The Giants, we'll see with Danny DeVito, might have a good home performance, but big test for him maybe. So who you got between Green Bay and the Giants?
Yeah, Love's really looking good right now. He turned it around. Packers defense been playing good. I like the Packers by 10.
Packers by 10. That is close enough. And, of course, Tennessee at Miami Dolphins. My gym partner said, oh, that should be a no-brainer. It should be easy. Dan, do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Tennessee won't be able to put enough points with the high-potent offense. Tyreek Hill, Tua, I think they'll be able to win and win big.
We'll see if Miami shines in prime time. Random question of the day, Dan, what is your favorite kind of app, mobile app? Options are gaming apps, news apps, or utility apps.
News apps for sure.
Yep. And that includes sports because sports goes under news. Yep, so
exactly.
It's actually all tied, 33%. So go on X on the Sportscast one, and you can vote on your favorite app because today is National App Day. If you didn't,
I didn't know that. So, oh wow,
that which probably came out a couple years ago. That has to be recent. Dan, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about? Hey, did you watch the Army and Navy game?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can reach me at Danimal 247A on X or look for me on Facebook, search Dan Madden.
There, yeah, his all NFL post and whatnot. So, and you can reach us at the Sportscast One on X and Instagram or our website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. Look out for our shows this week. We got the top 25 rundown this Wednesday. They're going to rehash again the playoffs, also recap Army versus Navy game as well, and of course the Jersey Boys Sports Talk on Thursday night 8 p.m. Eastern. Vic and Byron are going to rehash what happened with the Packers and Giants game that's going to happen tonight. They don't have much expectations for the Giants to win tonight, but hey, we've seen some miracles happening this past weekend. We'll see what happens. Anyways, Dan, week 14, appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Absolutely, good to be here. See you.
This was your update.